Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Thursday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Another beautiful day. I mean, just gorgeous day. Maybe low 80s or so today. I was doing some not extremely vigorous yard stuff today, but I was outside for a while, and I thought, okay, I told you the other day I'd gotten in the pool for the first time. This was last week before the rain, before the cold snap.
Right.
And the pool temperature was about 68, which is pretty chilly. I was thinking today, it's like, it's pretty warm. I think I'll get in. I checked the thermometer in the pool, 65.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, well, either I or the pool or both need to be a little warmer before I'm jumping back in. I mean, if you're working really hard, worked
nights,
up a big
right?
time sweat. Yeah, we had a couple of nights in the 40s.
We've had a couple of cold nights.
Yeah, that's what's done it. And the fact that, I mean, I get a lot of shade, but I mean, if I'd really worked up a sweat, it would have been like jumping into an ice bath, which could
cold.
Be great. But 65 when you aren't, especially when you're not.
Yeah, when it's in the what high 70s
needing to
or
cool
low,
down
yeah, low 80s. I mean, yeah that's.
So it'll have to wait another.
But the warm
a couple
weather,
of days.
The warm weather's coming.
Love this man. Love this weather.
Yeah, the warm weather's clearly like we are. On the verge. I mean, the semester is just about over. What is finals week? Is next week.
That is crazy. A semester ends. Is tomorrow the last day of class?
Tomorrow's the last day of class. Finals next week. Graduation after the after the week is over. So yeah, it's a we are about to make the leap into the summer. It feels a little odd because we've had new stuff to talk about. Like you said yesterday, the portal. Has sort of disrupted the timeline as far as what we talk about the timeline of events in college football and college basketball. But having the with the summer about to start and the pretty soon it'll be media days, right? I mean
need a little bit of time.
No, I know I'm not looking past the summer or anything, but you know what I mean. Like it's gonna be we're in that period. And it's also, I mean, I was going to say NFL draft season, but it's not NFL draft season. It's draft day.
Yeah, it's draft night tonight, and all the action coming up right after the drive. I mean, you can listen to it here on ESPN 106.7, and you were asking me a question, and I absolutely let the audience know, let everybody know what you asked me.
Okay, so for you kids out there. The NFL draft wasn't always a big primetime extravaganza.
It was not a show.
It was, I mean, well, that, and that's a little, it's a little before my time for it
well,
not to be.
See, I mean, I'm a lot older, but I remember
I feel like
when
Mel,
it was
Mel
something
Kiper
that
has been a celebrity my whole life.
Yeah,
so,
that's probably true.
You can track the
but
sort
I,
of,
I can yeah. go, I can go back to when it was, there were 17 rounds held over a weekend and there were no fans. You know, it's like there was little coverage. There was some coverage, but little coverage. So
it was just weirdos in a conference room, right?
Like yeah,
just,
you know, it was.
Just listing, reading off lists of names.
So you know, I guess because that's the way, you know,
way
I grew
should,
up.
The way it should be, by the way.
That's the way I grew up. It's been sort of funny to watch, and I'll watch. Obviously, I want to watch, and it is, they do a great job. But I've never really wanted to just be there and be part of the spectacle of it. But yeah, it's coming up tonight.
Look what it's become. Look.
I know. I mean, it is crazy. It's game day, man. It's like the biggest game day ever.
It looks like Woodstock behind the College Game Day crew on television right now. The draft is in 3 hours. They're in Detroit. I believe they're in Detroit, Michigan for this year's addition. The thought they're taking it on the road, yeah, too, right? That it's, you know, it's,
I know.
It's this. No, but it's,
I know it is wild.
It is, and I the pivotal moment for me is I remember when it was an all Saturday and Sunday affair, and there was a draft in the 2000s. I forget which one, but there was one where they'd work to pare down the time in the first and second rounds, because the first round,
oh, it used to take forever.
Teams used to have, in the NFL draft, teams used to have 15 or 20 minutes between picks. You used to have that much time to make your selection, and so the first round could take 5 hours, and it was whittling it down. I think they eventually settled on maybe even less than 10 minutes. Maybe it was 5 minutes a pick or something. And once they got the first round to under 3 hours, once they finished that thing in 3 hours, it felt like, okay, now they've stumbled on something that can move to a different night and become more of a television production. And now here we are, mm-hmm, on Thursday night. And this will be, I mean, this thing is going to do, I mean, it's going to do serious ratings. It's gonna,
oh,
do
it
like
is?
NFL.
No question.
It's going to do bigger ratings than a lot of other leagues' playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be, you know, at the end of it, it's just a, I mean, it is a new opportunity for a lot of franchises to sort of pick up a big marquee star, but the unpredictability of the draft, right, Bill? Like the thought, I mean, just we have, I mean, we everyone could work out, right? I mean, we talk about like, yeah,
but
I mean,
they all won't.
Maybe, I mean, yeah, sure,
no,
I mean, possibly.
I don't think there's ever been a draft where every team hit on their number one pick. I mean, that's just the way it is.
It's considered.
There are no guarantees.
I guess the new sort of metric is, you know, did teams offer a second contract to the guy is something people look at as like that's the measure of whether or not a draft was a success. And it's considered a pretty good draft when like 17 or 20 guys get offered a second contract by the, mm-hmm, team that drafts them in the first round. And so, I mean, this draft is more, I think it's more interesting than others because we could see so many quarterbacks go early, and that usually, I mean, that tends to lead to, well, I mean, bigger, more familiar names and, you know, more questions. You know, I think taking a quarterback very early in the draft is something that it's probably a more important pick for a friend. Not that you should always take quarterback every year or something, but I'm saying, like, once you take quarterback, like, that feels like it can be a big moment for an NFL franchise, right? Because it could be the guy but it also could be a guy you're replacing in 2 or 3 years. But no, so it's Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May from North Carolina look like the consensus top of the draft class. Whether or not those three guys go 1, 2, 3, we'll see. Whether or not they go 1, 2, 3 to the team slated to pick 1, 2, 3, because it's Chicago, Washington, New England picking 1, 2, 3. All three of those teams could take quarterbacks in the first round, and you could see them do that. J.J. McCarthy has moved up on draft boards. There's,
yeah,
the question of, I guess, like Michigan did not necessarily have to run an offense that showcased him as an NFL quarterback all year long because, you know, they were able to keep things kind of vanilla and still beat teams convincingly, and they often had the lead in games, which also can limit how much you use a quarterback. But I don't know. I'm a little surprised by the way that J.J. McCarthy has become everyone's sort of, you know.
Yeah, his stock has, yeah, skyrocketed.
Yeah.
And, yeah, a lot of folks wondering, you know, where'd that come from? Obviously, you get opportunities to work out and do some things like that.
Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers, top-tier receivers that should go pretty early, mm-hmm, in the draft, could see. I'd say Marvin Harrison Jr. is the biggest threat to quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3 or even 1, 2, 3, 4 if I guess Arizona could do a lot of things with the fourth pick, depending on their commitment to Kyler Murray and, you know, their need at other places, and whether or not somebody else wants to move up and pick fourth instead of Arizona. And then there's Penix Jr. and Bo Nix, who would be the next quarterbacks presumably taken in this one. Bo Nix has picked up steam as someone. I mean, Jason Caldwell yesterday thought that Bo Nix could go in the first round tonight. So there's a we're going to have it on ESPN. ESPN Radio's coverage of the draft, they always do a very good job following the first round, and so you can listen in tonight as some of the biggest stars from this past year of college. Probably not going to hear an Auburn name tonight.
No, I'd be very, very surprised.
DJ is expected. You know, DJ James and Marcus Davis are expected to get drafted. Not Marcus Davis.
Jalen Simpson, Nehemiah Pritchett.
Marcus Harris.
Marcus Harris.
Marcus Harris.
Okay, I was going.
Not Marcus Davis. No. Marcus Harris.
That would be a surprise.
It would be a bit of a surprise if Auburn's wide receivers coach was drafted years after his college career ended. But no, it's DJ James and Jalen Simpson, Nehemiah Pritchett, and Marcus Harris are probably Auburn's best shots at having players drafted during the
at some point over
the
3 days,
and with mm-hmm. and with that we should welcome in the Auburn Observer who's been hanging out in the studio today, an in studio appearance for our buddy Justin, who went to the Braves game yesterday.
You got to see a win.
I got to see a win.
I was worried about it.
I thought it was going to be cruising, and then Rizal Iglesias has had a great season.
Yes, he
and,
has.
And a couple of CNI singles, unlucky bounce off of Matt Olson on that air. But, some incredible defense in the ninth inning and in the tenth inning from Atlanta. And, Michael Harris gets that shot into the gap to win it. So it was a lot of fun. The Braves doing super, super well right now.
Yeah, they're 9 out of 10 now.
Miami's scary because they've played so poorly through the first 25 games that you feel like they might start like.
Dude, until that ninth inning, they only had one run all series.
Yeah.
And like it was, or like two runs all series. And it was like, it was Jesus Sanchez, I believe, last mm-hmm. night. Hit probably the hardest hit ball I've ever seen in Truist. I think it was like 118 off the bat. He hit it to the top of the chop house and right. And I was like, okay, well, if you just limit your damage to that, you're fine. And then, but yeah, it's the Marlins are a team right now. It's like you watch that lineup come together, and you're just like, I don't see what's going on there. They started Christian Bethencourt behind the plate last night, and my brother informed me because I looked at his OPS, and I was like, that looks
really
low.
Marlins have no catchers.
Yeah, there's a story about how bad the Marlins catching has been.
Bethencourt is 0-27 to start the year, and he's walked once.
Yeah,
and he's only struck out five times. So
he's not that much worse than most of the other guys. And even in their system, they don't have any catchers that can hit the ball.
What makes it worse too is that those are two organizations in Miami and Washington that were in large part betrayed by their ownership. When you look at how many ex-Marlins and how many ex-Nationals are
absolutely
making impacts all across the sport, it is a crime that they couldn't hold on to more of their guys, and it's unfortunate because I don't think it's on the fans in either case. Like, I think it was just a matter of.
How about this, while we're on the topic of baseball, I'm just doing this for Drew's benefit. Cubs just beat the Astros. That's six straight losses for the Astros.
Yeah.
They are 6-17.
Struggling. They really are.
It's their worst start. My buddy Chandler Rome, who covers the Astros, I always know what's going on with the Astros because of him. And I think he just tweeted it's their worst start since 1967 to start a season.
Man.
And it's just it's incredible. But, yeah. Yeah, fun. Braves playing really well right now. Big weekend series coming up. They got Cleveland coming into town. Winner of that series is going to have the best record in baseball coming out of it. So it's a lot of fun.
So we were talking NFL draft before we brought you in. There are Auburn players who are expected to be taken in the NFL draft. Probably not tonight.
I would be stunned if anybody goes tonight.
Bo Nix is Auburn's best shot tonight of having an Auburn.
You might see DJ James go tomorrow. Round two, round three, probably round three for him, and then the rest is probably day three guys.
I have a feeling, and I mean Caldwell predicted Bo Nix in the first round tonight. On yesterday's show,
especially if
there's a run.
Yeah, there's a well. That's the thing right now is that it's Caleb Williams at one. Today, I've seen a lot more of it's going to be Jaden Daniels at two. Yep. And then
the Washington fans that I get, I talked to a couple of them because I was part of that group until they snapped out of it. But I was
I
was a Washington fan for a while, and
yikes.
And that's I was born there, Joe Gibbs guy.
There was a time where it was fun.
Dan Snyder era was not a super bright spot for me, but I think it would be a disappointment if they did not come up with Jaden Daniels at two.
You might like Drake May. Some people may like Drake May over Jaden Daniels, but it seems to be that way the case. And then three, New England. It's like, okay, do they go get May, or do they trade back and try to figure some stuff out there? And I think they have Jacoby Brissett on their roster, so they'd be fine this season.
Should any of those teams take Marvin Harrison Jr. and sort of figure out quarterback later because a potential
New Orleans, New England could and just say, hey, you know, we'll ride with Brissett. I think the problem is that I want to say next year's quarterback class is not looking really great right now. Off the top of my head,
I think the number one overall pick in next year's draft, according to most people, is Carson Beck.
Yeah,
I believe that is the belief among folks.
And you've got Quinn Ewers and like guys like that.
Ewers and Beck would be competing. Yeah, and Milroe.
Would have worked his way into that conversation. You might want to go get the quarterback now. Arizona, if Marvin Harrison falls to him,
Jackson
at four.
Dart, I don't know. I mean,
if Marvin Harrison's available at four. Arizona's got to get him. I mean, you just pull that trigger. You've got way too much money tied up into Kyler Murray to try to punt off of that right now.
The alternate would be if somebody who wants McCarthy panics and moves up. Like that would be
five is kind of where you're seeing that McCarthy range, where you see the Vikings in the mix for that, and maybe some other teams as well.
I like Malik Nabers enough to where it's like I'd be considered. You know, I'd understand
why.
If I'm
Chicago and I have two top 10 picks in this draft, I try to walk out of here with Caleb Williams and an elite receiver. And it's not the same.
You think the Washington guy's an elite receiver? Does he count? Does Rome?
Adunze? Yeah. Okay. No, I like him a lot. But yeah, Nabers. I mean, Brian Thomas is a really good receiver as well.
I like Bowers. I mean, I know he's a tougher guy to project to the NFL level. But I mean, if you're Chicago picking that late, I mean, it's
yeah. Tight end's kind of getting to that point now with like running back, where you're like, okay, we're not going to overspend on it. But it's like, man, if a guy's that good, and I know,
is it too simplistic to think? And Bill, you know, if your NFL team comes away with Brock Bowers virtually anywhere in this first round tonight, like they did all right.
Yeah.
Like,
you may have greater needs. Yeah. Like I know one of the big ones that people saw was like, you know, the Titans. Titans really need offensive tackles, so they're probably going to get, you know, Joe Alt. I think there's another big name in that class up there in top 10 range. But it's like Brock Bowers would make a ton of sense in Tennessee, especially with the way they want to build that offense.
And Tennessee is the team that went and got Will Levis last year when he fell out of the first round and was there with the first pick in the second round. That is, I guess, the other possibility for Bo Nix tonight, is that if Bo Nix is still there when the first round ends, I wonder
if somebody will go get him.
I wonder if that becomes the new thing, is that the quarterback with a first round grade that falls out of the first round could be
a lot of teams in the middle of that draft, in the middle of that first round, that have nothing going right now at quarterback. I mean, Denver was the one everybody was talking about. Then obviously they make the move this week for Zach Wilson, which isn't necessarily, you're not married to that at all, but you know, it is a move. Las Vegas, I mean, the Raiders had Aiden O'Connell starting for him this year, and it's no disrespect to Aiden O'Connell, but if you feel like he's a first round guy, you could go get it.
QB1 in Denver is Jared Stidham. Right now. I mean, our old pal Jared is, you know, finished the season, you know, went in for Russell Wilson.
Yep.
How much of that was contract versus actually wanting to see Jared Stidham play a couple of games as QB1? But you know, this is a chance for
It's crazy that you're going to see a draft here where you get McCarthy. I don't think McCarthy's a first-round quarterback, like, talent-wise, but he's going to be by the nature. Like, he could be top five tonight.
I was
going to
say he might go fifth tonight.
Yeah. Fourth or fifth tonight is definitely in range for him. I don't necessarily think the Vikings
have not picked up a quarterback post-Cousins trade, right? Uh-uh. Like they're one of the teams that folks sort of expect by the middle of this draft, like, they could be.
Yeah,
if they want, they could be doing it.
And I think the thing there is with Bo, it's like, you know, Bo is obviously a fantastic college player, especially these last couple seasons at Oregon. But like, is that the NFL quarterback? Is that a guy, like, maybe you could do something with him? But it's all such a roll of the dice. I mean, look, you had a team, you know, play for the Super Bowl this year with Mr. Irrelevant at quarterback. Like, they've been really good with him as well. So, you know, some teams are going to try to figure it out. But the problem is that the teams that need a quarterback, I mean, you know, now that Russell Wilson's in Pittsburgh, like, you don't really see a team where it's like, man, they got everything they need. except for a quarterback.
It took a lot
there's a lot of those.
It took a lot to get Brock Purdy on the field too. It'd be really cool if there was a coach or two. I mean, Belichick's out of the game for the moment, so it's probably not going to happen. Where there was a coach who had the arrogance to believe, you know what? I'm going to build my roster. I'm going to find my quarterback in the fifth round or the sixth round. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go with that guy because. The thing is, there are reasons to try that because it gives you a chance. It gives you a chance to put the best possible players around that quarterback. But if you guess wrong on your fifth or sixth or seventh round quarterback, you've got nothing at the position.
There's just a lot of bad quarterback play in the NFL too. I mean, it's like, hey, oh, we struck out with that one. Well, we'll just go find somebody else. I mean, it is. You have guys that are established and elite, and then you have some dudes who may get on some heaters during the season, like. I think I like a Gardner Minshew. I think Aiden O'Connell. DeVito. Yeah, Aiden O'Connell had a little bit of that this year. DeVito, obviously.
Tommy DeVito.
But, like, it's...
Wasn't that fun? Remember that?
It's hard to find. It's hard to find guys that are just being, like, consistently awesome that weren't top-tier players. And the thing with, the thing with Brock Purdy was that not that he was a bad quarterback, but he's got the best overall roster in football around him. He's got one of the best play callers in football.
It was striking,
dialing it up for him.
It was striking how many, I think it's the last 2 years, where it's like pretty much every starting quarterback in the playoffs was a first rounder. Like it's striking how, I mean, it's not, it used to be, you go back 15, 20 years, it was closer to, there were guys who came out of Kurt Warner's and Tony Romo's and Tom Brady's and Russell Wilson's would come out of nowhere. Yeah. Now it's a lot of teams have the blueprint of, especially now the contracts are more reasonable for quarterbacks in the first round. They used to get paid an obscene amount of money, compared to other players in the first round. Yep. And they would they would hold out, and it would disrupt their now that it's easier to get your quarterback in. Mm-hmm. A lot of teams are just saying let's find our guy in the first round, sign him, and play
go
him
from
now.
There. Yeah.
All right, we're just getting underway. We're way behind though. We need to go ahead and get to our first break here this afternoon. It's the Thursday edition of The Drive. Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer, Drew at the controls, and we'd love for you to join us here on the Thursday Drive.
Big Eating in Auburn. ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Thursday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. I'm reminded when I said Justin. All right, yesterday I've got a little addition to my shout out, my thanks yesterday to Mark and his son Webb, who I said it's APD, but turns out that his brother Justin feels like we don't care about him. So it's like, no. I'm not playing any favorites here. I appreciate. This was all in the efforts. Remember when I was trying to find Blake
a couple
of days ago? Yes. Yeah. All right, I've got the information from
him.
Okay,
I did not know that I did not know there was an update.
I have.
I showed up late yesterday.
I have contact information.
Who would show up late?
I had something. Was excused. I had something going on.
Yeah. And Nice to know that the Sistrunk family checks us out now when they can live, but it's great to have the podcast.
Yes,
that's
good.
Something I have really it's been reinforced to me the last couple of days.
Oh, yeah.
Folks that really appreciate the podcast because they can't listen live all the time.
And we appreciate Southeastern Industrial Contractors for sponsoring the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to ESPNAU.com. and use the Podcast Center, or just search for The Drive with Bill Cameron on your favorite podcasting platform and listen to us that way. Again, that's all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. And I'm glad to hear a happy ending to our story.
Yeah, well, I mean, I still haven't talked with him yet, but I do have the correct contact info and everything, so that's good. Speaking of Southeastern Industrial Contractors, they also sponsor our text box.
That's right, 334-564-1840. You can text the show 24/7. And that's also for podcast listeners who want to get in with a thought or two.
Mm-hmm.
They're not able to do it, not able to call in. Send some thoughts over to Drew, who's always monitoring the Drive text box.
And, of course, you can call us The Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390. And, yeah, we've got a lot to talk about, obviously. The NFL draft coming up tonight. How about an update from the transfer portal? The info we had heard yesterday turned out to be right. Auburn gets one back from the transfer portal as Tyler Scott withdrawing from the transfer portal. That's big. Auburn, because Auburn was down to, as I had it on looking at the depth chart, they only had five scholarship corners. That's going to, I mean, they've got a couple of guys who can work in there.
I think if you go with nickels and corners together, which they had them this year, I have them at seven or eight now. But yeah, with Tyler Scott back.
But I'm talking the outside guys. Yeah. They were only about five. Sure. So Tyler Scott, who had a really good spring, good to have him back. He's a big corner.
Big corner. Guy with a lot of upside. People really like. Very athletic. I'm interested to see what happens with Colton Hood. I think Colton Hood's a guy, especially with what he did in the spring. I think he'd go start somewhere.
Yes,
and
I agree.
It was gonna be a little tougher. He's probably gonna be your number three guy this year. I have an opportunity maybe to go start somewhere, you know, play a lot more. We'll see. I think Colorado is a place he's got a lot of
Colorado, because I think Colorado was interested in both him and his brother.
Yeah, and so, you know, that'll be interesting to see what he ends up doing. But, yeah, getting Tyler Scott back's big. And that DB room is, I think, a really interesting one, because I like the mix of guys who are coming to the end of their careers, guys who've already played, who still have some eligibility left, like several years, and then you've got some young guys that are waiting to come. Like, it is a very balanced crew. Tyler Scott coming in just gives you a little bit more in that youth movement they got back there in that cornerback room. I think it's in a pretty solid spot. And you know, I know some folks earlier this week were kind of surprised when both those go. There's always a surprise or two in the portal every year.
Don't be shocked if there's somebody else. I mean, there's still 5 days.
Sure.
I mean,
and on top of that, you got to keep in mind, you know, with those guys like Tyler Scott and Colton Hood, the coaches who recruited them aren't here anymore.
Right.
And that is, you know, I think sometimes we overlook that. You know, the relationships are big, and I'm not saying they're going to go follow. I'm not saying that means they're going to Houston or Florida automatically, but it does matter when you look up and the guys who brought you in here aren't here anymore. And when you have the freedom to go and make that move, I do think that, like I said earlier, I do think Colton Hood's a guy that could play a good bit of football right away somewhere. Maybe more than we had at Auburn, especially with Keontae Scott Kay and Lee. Settling, you know, at that corner spot this year.
Hood's departure, even with Tyler Scott coming back, I still think it puts a lot of pressure on Keontae, Champ, and Kayan to stay healthy, because you lost a guy that would have gone in the absence of any of those guys.
You need Tyler Scott, a guy like that, to step up. I think J.C. Hart's another one to keep an eye on. Just guys that like
Antonio.
Yeah, that's the one now. Is when both those guys were in. I know Jason Caller wrote a story on Spoody earlier this week. That to me was like, you look at him like, okay. You know, that's somebody that they went out and got. Mm-hmm. Obviously has familiarity with his coaching staff.
We saw that last year when a guy would reunite with a previous, whether it was the Liberty guys coming in or whether it was guys who had a previous encounter with a defensive or offensive coach. You know, Marcus Harris went and got the receiver from Hawaii.
Marcus Davis.
That time it was Marcus Harris and it was Marcus. That time it was Marcus Davis. But the Nick Mardner was the tall receiver. Yeah, that Auburn went and got in the portal. But you know, we've seen times where coaches will go back and reconnect with somebody, especially if they think there was something.
I'm
about
glad
that
you mentioned
guy.
Nick Mardner. There's a stat that I came across last night with the Keandre Lambert Smith news. If you look at Keandre Lambert Smith and Robert Lewis, and you put them together, last season they combined for 133 catches. Last season, the four transfers Auburn got at wide receiver,
33?
The four coming into that year, they had 105, 106.
What did they have last year?
But here's the thing. Most of them came from Shane Hooks at Jackson State.
Right.
So you're talking about a completely different, like, just two guys, established guys. And I'm not saying they're guaranteed to be, you know, as successful at Auburn as they were in the past. My thing with Keandre Lambert Smith, really good receiver. The consistency is one of those things where, like, I know that's what they've been waiting to see at Penn State. But yeah, I mean, it's just a big difference where it's like, okay, no, they've done this at this level. Whereas, you know, last year you had rotational guys, or you know, even a guy like Caleb Burton who's still on the roster, where it's just like, all right, we don't know what we haven't seen what he's capable of yet at this level, and it makes a pretty big difference.
Burton was the one major conference transfer of that group,
and he didn't play a snap,
and he had not played at Ohio State compared to the other guys who had. And the one thing about, I mean, we'll see with Lambert Smith, you know, mm-hmm. what kind of impact he has. The thing I like about Robert Lewis is that it does feel like he's not going to overwhelm with strength, and that wasn't how he was. You know, he wasn't getting open by.
Wasn't just the most unbelievable physical specimen that he was playing against.
He's just
the
dude who gets open.
Yeah, he
was. He's a great route runner.
I'd be nervous if it was a guy who overpowered people at a smaller level. You know, wondering is that
had a couple
work?
Of those last year.
Is that going to work? Is that going to work at the SEC level?
Three of them actually.
Robert Lewis seems like somebody who gets open, which tends to work at every level if you can.
And he's had success against some Power Five schools.
If you can get open, that mm-hmm. works. That works. You know, that
and I'm sure you guys talked about this. You know, when I mean, I guess, correct me if I'm wrong, was he signed or did he commit while y'all were still on the air yesterday?
Right at 5.
Right at 5. That's what I thought.
Right at 5. And I wanted to pass along, there was some question I know earlier. He is signed.
Yeah, no, he's signed. I mean, they announced that one pretty quick last night.
Yes, they did. So,
but I'm sure y'all mentioned, I'm sure we'll talk about it again. The thing that I really like about Keandre Lambert Smith, when you look at need, most of his snaps at Penn State came on the outside. You look at that flanker spot, you don't really like. You love what you have in Cam Coleman. Obviously, you're bringing in Perry Thompson. Robert mm-hmm. Lewis is a guy who can play on the outside, but he probably fits maybe more in the slot.
Practiced slot mostly this spring.
And so you get a guy like Keandre Lambert Smith, and it just makes sense as a smaller guy, but an outside guy. And he's 6'1", nearly 200 pounds.
And now you got Sam Jackson, who's also working inside as well. So, I mean, Robert can swing inside or out, and Jackson, I like what we saw from
Jackson. The other thing you like about Keandre Lambert Smith, his uncle. His uncle's Cam Chancellor.
Did not know that.
And when you watch him play some of the highlights, he's like he brings an edge. He brings a physicality to his game that I know his uncle would be pretty proud of. So.
All right. Yeah, we need to get to our bottom of the hour break. We'll catch back up here shortly. I'd love for you to join in. Anything on your mind, sports-wise, 334-321-1390 as we continue with the Thursday Drive.
Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Thursday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer, and let's see, we just sort of touched on the Keandre Lambert Smith was sort of, oh, by the way, while we were talking about other things. But the transfer portal, it is crazy because you've got football and basketball portal stuff going on right now. And Auburn has added J.P. Pegues basketball-wise. Going to bring in Duke Miles here in a few days as a possibility, as a second point guard. What are your thoughts on Duke?
Yeah, I think, you know, Duke Miles, and then there was a new one in the last 24 hours, another guy that Auburn has reached out to, and Kai Tandy from Jacksonville State by way of Xavier. Mm-hmm. Both of those guys make a ton of sense for me because you get an ultra-experienced guard to come in and can play one or play the two, just a combo guard, a scorer, somebody to replace what you've lost with, you know, Katie Johnson out. Don't want to put it all on like, well, good luck here, you know, Tahad Pettiford. It's all on three-man. You want to maybe have another guy in there. And to come alongside a guy like Duke Miles, who's from Montgomery mm-hmm. and played at Troy, or come alongside a guy like Kai Tandy, who just had a really good season at Jacksonville State, and just say, hey, you want to come be on a team that can compete for a championship and play at a really high level next year. Not be a superstar, probably not going to be a guy that would give you, you know, heavy, heavy minutes. But that's the type of player they need. And when we talked about it last week, when they going after R.J. Godfrey and Jacoby Coles at the forward spot, guys who are comfortable coming off the bench, being, you know, competing at that power forward spot, I feel like you need to get another guy like that at the guard, especially if they can get a little bit of versatility where can steal some 1 minute from you, you know, whenever you don't
something
have
happens,
Pegues.
A guy's banged up, can't play for a little bit. I mean, you've got a very experienced guy.
I think, you know, if you're going all in on experience, this is the move to make. And you know, a guy like Tandy, I mean, Tandy's already been in college for 5 years. Now, he did redshirt one of those years. But, yeah, I mean, those are two guys that make a lot of sense. And I think Miles, again, being from Montgomery, having a good career at Troy, doing really well at High Point, I mean, I think that's a great fit for what you need. You're not – and it makes sense because, like, okay, so here's my biggest question this week that I've stumbled on with college basketball. Alabama, I have no idea how they're going to play all these guys that they're trying to go get. Like, this is like they're trying to get like the all-star transfer roster there. And look,
have you seen Kansas's roster? Kansas has 12 guys, and they're all guys people would have wanted.
Yeah,
like, they might get Ryland Griffin.
I don't know. Like, how are you going to play all these dudes? Like, how are you going to play all these guys? And Alabama's in that boat right now where it's like, what happens if Mark Sears comes back? Like, you've got all these guards now that, you know, or at least you've gone after them that you're like, whoa.
Well, aren't they going after Filon too?
Yeah, Filon. You know, they added
young blood from South
Florida.
They
hosted Sean Padula on a visit right after getting Naden Holloway.
Sean Padula picked a school, right? Sean Padula's going to Ole Miss.
Okay,
committed last night.
And then
nice pickup for
Cliff
for
Omoruri. Yeah, you're going to be all over Ole Miss again.
No, I'm not.
This year.
No, I'm not. I'm
you're
not.
Well,
they were. You know what?
You're not.
I was all over them, and they were better than they'd been at any point since the first year of Kermit Davis.
Yeah.
Not quite a tournament team, but better. But better.
Even Bruce
said they were
okay. Well, okay, but Bruce. Bruce is the king of complimenting other teams. He's really good at it. And like every coach needs to have that in him because you want to be able to hammer it into your team. Like, these dudes can beat you.
He spent much of the year as a bubble team and then fell apart. Like, that's I feel like that's not.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, like it, like
if they if
like
that
Dan,
happens,
I, Dan,
yeah.
I think Ole Miss beat the same number of quality teams that I did this year. Like, you know, that was the thing. Because that was the whole thing. Like, and you would do this on the podcast. You'd be like, I didn't watch out for Ole Miss. I'm like, dog, they haven't beaten anybody. Like they had, like, the Georgia under Tom Crean schedule, and they were running through it.
They beat Florida. I think they beat Florida.
They did beat Florida once.
They did completely fall apart. Like, we were talking about teams. You want teams to get better over the course of January, February, and they were one of the teams that it was crazy at how much worse they were by the end. And that would if that becomes a trend – You get really nervous.
I don't think it will. It's just my
Sean Padula is a good pickup for anybody.
My thing with Ole Miss is that you're going to get in a position in the SEC where, I mean, these are like top end, like teams are bringing in 5-star talents and hitting the best of the best in the transfer portal, and like there's a flow and a cohesion. For last year at Ole Miss, it kind of struck me like a lot of year one teams for a coach where it's just like, oh, we just got to get dudes in here. And it didn't really have a ton of rhyme or reason, which is why it was really weird that Arkansas did what they did. Like, that Arkansas roster never made any sense to me this past year, and it ended up, you know, not working.
But it didn't look that different than what Musselman had done for a couple of years.
Yeah.
So you just kept thinking, well,
stylistically, it felt different. But, yeah, like, I wonder if
what we saw with Ole Miss in the way Chris Beard tried to build that roster, we're going to see a lot of coaches who feel pressure to win in year one. Like, they're going to try to build
their
roster.
Which is hilarious if you're at Ole Miss and you feel pressure to win in year one because it's like, dog, like, where is the history?
Yeah,
like,
I wonder if Chris Beard felt pressure to win in year one because of the way.
Yeah, because he's Chris Beard.
Yeah, because the way things had fallen. But
maybe.
No, but that's probably true of Musselman at SC. That's true of Calipari.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mark Pope's going to feel some of that pressure.
Oh, yeah.
Andy Enfield at SMU is going to feel like, I mean, going into a major conference.
You can feel a lot of that pressure at places that have won. Ole Miss is not one of those places.
You shouldn't necessarily feel that pressure at a place that's firing like, Kermit Davis after. You're right. But the
I think one of the only banners for men's basketball at Ole Miss's arena is like 2009 NIT semifinalists or something like
CBI,
that.
CBI.
Yeah, it's and look, Auburn was the same way for a long time. But like it takes time. You know, it took time for a coach like Bruce Pearl who had been and Chris Beard. You look at Chris Beard, he's accomplished so much. Bruce Pearl accomplished so much, but it took time. And it's easier now to get high-level talent out of the portal than it was when Bruce started here, but it's still a build. It is really hard to kind of come in, set the world on fire, and then keep it there. I think we saw some examples of that this past season where Missouri has a great year one under Dennis Gates and then falls apart the next season. Mm-hmm. South Carolina looked dreadful in year one under Lamont Paris. I think they were overrated by the end of the year, but they still were a pretty good team and, you know, made the tournament in year two. Like, that's the kind of – that's a more logical build. And I think Georgia's could be in the process of doing that early on with Mike White. The little run they made on it at the NIT was pretty good. And we will see if that kind of springs – not into championship contention, but maybe a mid-tier kind of team in the SEC. Who knows? And they're – working hard in the transfer portal as well.
It's to the point now where, like, oh, he's going to hit the – it's just – he's not going to hit the portal. Everybody's going to do it after every season. Like, it's not a matter of – I mean, that's how you survive now. And
it's just college basketball.
Next year when Auburn has a lot of minutes to replace after this season
Next year when Auburn could Auburn's gonna return two guys.
Yeah, Auburn's going to be one of those rosters where you go, do they have anybody?
It's Tennessee.
It's going to look like one of these coaches in year one who are going and getting a lot of portal players to replace. Well, now, we'll see the caliber of players.
Yeah, well, the thing is, if it works well this year, that should be an incentive for other players to go, oh, hey, he knows what to do. He knows how to do that.
I look at what Tennessee just did this past year. They went all in with getting an experienced roster. Mm-hmm. You know, they returned a bunch of guys. They added the transfers they wanted to, and what happened? They won the SEC and ran to the Elite Eight. If you made that offer right now to Auburn fans right now, you take it and run with it. You just say absolutely. And what do you do the next year? You cross that bridge when you get there because that's just the nature of college basketball.
You got to worry about this year. You got to worry about the coming year. It used to be you were building for the future.
Right.
You can't do that anymore. I mean, the players can try.
The players you're developing for the future have the option to leave.
Just go.
Like they might decide they're not.
Yeah. And this year is the year better than ever, I think, to go all in because this is the last year where you see these fifth season college basketball players.
Yeah.
So you bring in, you bring back. Jani Broom, and you have Denver Jones, and you add JP Pickies and Chad Baker Mazzara and all that.
At least his name isn't Marcus.
Yeah, true. Yeah. And then you say, okay, Duke Miles or, you know, Kai Tandy or somebody like that. It's like, this is it. Like, you know, we'll deal with what you got to do with there. And we see that because Kentucky and Arkansas are about to be two programs that are complete reset button. Like, they are changing everything about themselves.
And Tennessee just lost virtually all of its production as well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the same thing, but
they've got some good players. They got a couple of good young players, but they didn't play a ton this season. I will say in all of this that I find interesting, and it's not anything bad about them at all, but we talk about all these teams in the SEC making moves and like the builds and all that. Haven't heard a lot about Vanderbilt this offseason. I just realized I don't know anything about this Vanderbilt team.
He's added a roster. Mark Byington, the former James Madison coach, got that job, and he's added they're quality mid-major additions and guys who didn't pan out. I think they've added five or six transfers, but they weren't necessarily guys. One of them is an all-conference point guard from a mid-major.
I'm also not sure what Mississippi State brings back next year outside of Hubbard.
Florida losing Riley Kugel was a bit of a surprise to me.
Have you seen the thing today?
Speaking of Kansas's roster.
Well, have you seen the thing today? Everybody's leaving Miami now.
NIL dry up?
That's what you think.
Yeah, that's what. Especially
after they just had an exodus on their women's basketball team as well. What's the guy's name? Norchad.
Norchad O'Meara.
He just hit the portal again. So like that's
all Sunbelt. Hey, all Sunbelt. Well,
a two-time All-ACC player too.
Hitting the portal. Here's something interesting. We'll get into this. I know we need to get to our final break of hour number one. But how about the NCAA now coming out and saying that grad transfers have to be in the portal by April 30th, or they can't, or they're not going to be able to play next year.
Everybody.
And that
makes sense.
Yes.
It should be everybody.
I mean, that had been the big advantage to being a graduate transfer. You could graduate in the middle of the summer and transfer. You graduate at the end of the summer and transfer. Now, you're not going to be able to do that.
Now, do you have to have your degree and be in the portal by April 30th?
No.
Or do you
have to be in the portal.
You have to have declared for the portal.
So, yeah.
It's a small distinction, but still.
But there, but there, that would allow you, if you were going to be able to get your degree, if you're already in the portal and you can get your degree, you can transfer within the SEC. So, I mean, there is a way, that would be a way around that.
Still keep waiting to hear something about VAR, by the way. Speaking of graduate transfers and things like that.
We've got to get this break or we won't have time to wrap it up for hour number one. Come on in and join us here on the Thursday Drive.
UCF.
The Edward Via College of...
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final minute or so of hour number one. A fun first hour. Love for you to join in. You can give us a call, 334-321-1390. As the music's rolling, let everybody know what's going on with The Observer.
Yeah, busy week at The Observer. Got a breakdown of Keandre Lambert-Smith up today. Did a breakdown on all three of the new defensive transfers earlier this week. Wrote a fun story about Chaney Johnson. Wrote a story about Eugene Asante as a blitzer. So it's been a busy week, and we got mailbag tomorrow, and Dan and I are going to be on the podcast that'll go up sometime tomorrow as well. So auburnobserver.com, sign up. We email everything out to you, $6 a month or $60 a year. This offseason continues to give us a ton of stuff to write and talk about, so we're staying busy. We'll make it worth your while.
All right, we are halfway done here on the Thursday Drive. Come on in and join us for hour number two.
Is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in, hour number two of the Thursday Drive. Got a full house here in the studio. Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer, and Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in here in the second hour of the show, which is brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And you can join us by either calling the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
We talked about quite a few things in hour number one, including the NFL draft, which will come up on ESPN 106.7 as soon as we are done here this afternoon. But a good bit of talk about the portaling going on, transfer portal news, both football, basketball. After the news of the last 24 hours, Justin, with the addition of Keandre Lambert-Smith, the return of Tyler Scott, when you look at this roster, I mean, what a job, I think, of building, adding depth and experience to this roster. It is, to me, night and day improved over a year ago.
Oh, absolutely. And I had a question. It's going to be in the mailbag tomorrow, and it's like, how much does the ceiling change? I don't know if the ceiling for this team changes much, but it's a much more stable roster. I think it's a roster that is better built to enter the season. You feel a lot more confident about your defensive line in case something happens.
Oh, absolutely.
Or you just put more experience in there and, you know, more guys in there and hope somebody breaks out there. You have a bridge player in Keyron Crawford, a guy with, I think, plenty of ceiling left to reach. You put him at a spot where you have a lot of youth and you have one, you know, starter that's coming into the end of his career. That's great. And then with Keandre Lambert-Smith, you are banking on experience to help you not put as much pressure on the Cam Colemans and the Perry Thompsons of the world, and then, you know, start to build that group, and you want to add another weapon for your quarterback to potentially take a step forward with. So I think this is a better football team. they didn't land a superstar, but there's not really a superstar to go get in the
portal.
In this portal,
I mean, there haven't been a lot of, you know, stud names, but Auburn's gotten a lot of guys who are proven commodities at the Power Five level.
They've definitely gotten better. I don't know if the additions and the roster changes this week make them a win or two better. But what I do think is that, you know, you have a lot more wiggle room in case something happens at these certain positions this year. And I think you're just going to be better built for the grind. You know, last season Auburn fell apart down the stretch, and you wonder about the numbers and the quality of the depth that you had there. You feel better about the depth you've got on the defensive front. You have a wide receiver now that I think is just a perfect fit for what you want in the portal. You know, and he's depending on where you look at, he's either the best or the second best wide receiver available in the portal. There's that kid from Houston who's really good. Houston's wide receiver one's in the portal. Yeah, he's really in the but. I pointed this out today. If you look at
Arizona State receiver too, right? It's the other one that's in the portal.
He's a big one. Guy had about like, I think he's like 400 yards last season, 500 yards. I don't know.
He's the one who had 100 something catches the last 2 years at Arizona State. I do wonder if he's gonna. If you look at
247's portal rankings, I believe Keandre Lambert Smith was 13 among wide receivers, and you look at that number, and that's for the whole off season so far, and you look at the guys that he's around. You've got he's slightly ahead of Will Shepard, who I know a lot of folks, you know, really liked out of Vanderbilt. Is it Ja'Cory Brooks from Alabama, who's moved on now? He's a little ahead of there. Around Julian Fleming, one of the big names in the portal that's actually at Penn State now from Ohio State. Like that's the caliber of guy that on paper that you're getting, and you know. One of the most established receivers that Auburn has been able to bring out. Auburn has how many years has Auburn come into a season where they've got a guy who has, you know, over 1,000 yards receiving at the Power Five level already in his career or thereabouts? Like it's not been very often,
you're right.
And so I think that's a great help, and it's just it should give you more confidence in this team that they can take a step forward. They've still got a lot of work to do, and they got to go out there and prove it. Like, I think that's the thing I've been kind of harping on here the last few days, and especially when you talk about like the recruiting class Auburn just had in 2024. Hey, talent acquisition, it's square one. You got to have it. If you don't have it, you're not going to compete. But it doesn't guarantee you anything. But the good news is that you're in a much better position now than you were, you know, like you said a year ago, definitely 2 or 3 years ago. With this roster, it looks more like an SEC caliber roster.
We'll get to the phones. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and Tommy gets us started. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, good afternoon. Did all this transfer portal and everything, didn't there used to be a rule that a kid had to be on track to graduate?
Yes, and that still is.
And in order to get accepted to most of these schools, there is that sort of the hurdle that people don't really think about in the transfer portal, which is that the student has to be in good enough standing to get accepted into the new school, the place they want to go. And usually schools have standards for academic progress and, you know, progress towards a degree and things like that that would that can be
the NCAA has the standard of progress toward a degree. The universities still have, you know, have to okay credits transferring in, and we've seen that be a problem at times in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't ever hear of anybody being academically ineligible anymore.
Hardly ever.
You're right.
Hardly ever.
There is such an effort. The staffs at every school now are, I mean, every possible anything that could possibly be done to help a player,
yep.
And when they
got every possible resource
available to
and
them.
When a player is in academic trouble over the summer, that's when schools tend to start, you know, figuring out what they need to do in case that player's not on the field, and you see, you know, schools make. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're right. You rarely see starters during the college mm-hmm. football season. During the season, academic issues don't pop up like they once did to take guys off the field.
Yeah, it used to be back in the 70s and 80s. I think it's pretty common, but I guess things have changed now. But anyway, I thought that was interesting that you hardly ever hear that.
Oh, you're right. Of course, back in the 70s and 80s, you know, players weren't able to stay in school all year because they needed to go home and work, try to make some money.
Yeah. Thank you all.
Appreciate the call, Tommy. Yeah, that is a significant change is that now, I mean, players that aren't in school during the summer are huge exceptions to the rule.
The Arizona State receiver, Elijah Badger, just went into the portal. I think it was the same day that that Rashada went into the portal. So this would have been just in the last week or so. And yeah, that's somebody who's attracted. And just because, like Lambert Smith, there have not been a lot of Power 5, number one caliber wide receivers who have gone into the portal this spring. And so there's outsized interest in guys like that. We'll see where it ends up with Badger. But clearly, I mean, there's a ton of Power 5 interest when Lambert Smith goes into the portal, and it ends with Auburn going and getting somebody who's got a different level of experience than pretty much anybody else in the room.
Yeah, so 5 days left, Justin. I mean, there's no telling. There's still I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit of a flurry here in the last few days, especially after what we mentioned at the end of hour number one, the fact that the NCAA has said everybody needs to be in the portal by April 30th to be eligible for the fall.
And I think we just saw with the Tyler Scott situation, I think there you'll see some guys go into the portal maybe and still come back and
waters. It would make more sense if you have some doubt, some question in your mind. It would make more sense to go ahead and go in the portal as long as you feel like you have a spot if you change your mind.
I saw a quote today. It was a video. Greg Gard, the basketball coach of Wisconsin, had a comment, and they were talking about the losses that Wisconsin has had in the portal here this offseason. I think they had a guy or two go into the draft as well. And he was straight up about it. He said, look, guys, if any of you right now could be told, hey, you could triple your income by going somewhere else, you'd do it in a heartbeat. And he's like, that's what you're facing. And not everybody's going to make the move to maximize the most money. Some kids are happy with, like, there are other factors involved. But, I mean, it it's one of those things where, like, I don't blame a kid at all for looking. Yeah, I don't blame a kid at all for looking. Even if he decides to come back to his work, you have that ability.
I just hope that the ones that do
still
have the opportunity to come back.
But no, I think it's a good point by Greg Gard. You know, it's easy for folks to you know, from the outside to say, he should do this. It's like, what would you advise your kid to do in that situation? What would you do yourself in that situation?
And again, I'm not saying all these kids are going out and chasing the bag as much. Some are, but you know, it is just it's really, really tough to turn down. And I don't blame a kid at all for in this day and age. Now, we can talk about how much we like the portal or the rules and all that, and that's another thing. But in the framework that we are operating in college sports right now, I don't blame anybody at all for going after for trying to go after and at least see what's out there.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And Spectre is up next. Hey, Spectre.
Hey guys, I'd like to talk about the quarterbacks are in the draft.
Well, real quick, Spectre, Ferg was at Dega.
Oh, wait, what?
They were?
Yeah, Ferg went. Ferg went to the race.
Oh, to Talladega. Yeah. I was there. It was a fun race. Great race.
You liked that, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. It was my second time. Up there. It was a whole lot of fun. Whole lot of fun.
Was great. Who's your driver?
I don't really have one. A friend of mine that I went up with is a big Chase Elliott fan because he's from the home. His hometown is like 5 minutes from where he grew up. So I kind of stuck around with him for most of the day on Sunday.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it.
Yes, sir.
Well, welcome to the NASCAR fan club. Then
I like it. I like it.
All right. Let me talk about these quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Now Penix is in there, right? And he in
yes,
there
Penix is man. Michael Penix Jr. is in the draft, expected to be probably the fifth quarterback off the board.
It's interesting because the draft the NFL does not seem to be as high on him as what he put out on the field. This past season,
but it just takes one. You know, there were a lot of teams that weren't very high on Lamar Jackson. And now they're looking back on the draft 6-7 years later, and they're saying, "Boy, you know, if we could have that one back, we erred." And maybe, maybe Michael Penix is going to get an answer from just one or two GMs and be able to go in the first round tonight.
Well, the way I look at it, Williams, I'd leave him at number one. But I tell you what, Bo Nix, he's an NFL quarterback. He's a pocket passer, and he can evade a rush. and that's what they're looking for. I mean, he's not Daniels.
Hey, he's going to get an opportunity. I mean, don't know exactly where he's going.
And but, you know, and I think for and it's something that improved over the course of his career. Like Bo was a highly accurate quarterback in his final season at Oregon too. Like that, and that's I mean it still seems like, and it's tough to project quarterback specter, but if you can throw with accuracy and timing, like a lot of the other stuff doesn't really matter. And if you can't, you know, a lot of the other stuff doesn't really matter. And so, yeah, I think Bo showing what he did with his arm at Oregon adds to his profile as a draft pick.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to be pulling for him though, and I think he's going to make a good quarterback, a pro quarterback. Now Daniels, I mean, there's a lot of hype about Daniels, but I just don't. I'm having a hard time seeing where he's going to fit in at.
The only thing that would make me nervous about Jaden Daniels is the thing that made me nervous about RG3, which is he plays at such a crazy speed.
Yep.
I'm worried about the collisions that he may run into as an NFL quarterback. That's the one thing about his game, because everything else, he seems like a superstar to me. Just like a guy who, if it works, he's going to be a household name. Perennial contender superstar. I just worry if that style of play leaves you too open to injury.
You know, this is my opinion now. Cam Newton, he was good his first year, maybe the second year too, but the continuous pounding.
Oh, he got hit and hit and hit.
When he scrambled.
Yeah.
And that affected him.
He got hit more passing than he did running.
Oh, a lot of quarterbacks, and you think about guys like, McNabb would come to mind as somebody who ran a lot and then realized, you know, sort of changed his style of play and stopped running as much later in his career because of the, because it was taking its toll on him and making him somewhat unavailable. Lamar Jackson hasn't impacted, hasn't changed his style of play. He's still Lamar Jackson, and it just you wonder how long it can continue.
Well, again, a lot of this has to depend on where these college quarterbacks end up at. If they end up on a team that's got pretty good protection, they're probably going to develop really good. But some of these kids, they get in there in these NFL teams that have no protection on the line.
Yeah, that's one of the things we were talking about, Spector. I mean, it can be more beneficial to not be that guy that's taken in the top three or four spots, because those teams need more help. They need more around the quarterback, don't have as much talent around the quarterback, and a guy who can come in and be on an established team and maybe ease his way in can stay healthy and have a longer career.
A lot of folks think the Raiders could be in the market for Michael Penix Jr. Bo Nix also a possibility there. They're picking in the 13th, 14th, something like that. Could make a move, obviously, but that would be a place where the top quarterbacks are expected to be gone, but there are some teams that maybe need to choose a direction at that position, even if they're not picking where they could take one of the top four options on the board. Good stuff, Spector.
334-321-1390. We need to get to our first break of hour number two. Come on in and join us here on the Thursday Drive.
Experience and knowledge from the pros. 1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. 21 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Thursday afternoon. And let's get right back to the phone. And Jerry is next. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. Spector was talking about protecting the quarterback. I always think back to Archie Manning the first couple of years in New Orleans. He liked to get killed.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Oh, sure.
He was very fortunate that he was as athletic as he was.
A slightly more modern example of that, Jerry, but only slightly, is that I absolutely loved David Carr coming out of high school. I thought David Carr, the Texans' first overall pick in the expansion draft 20-something years ago, I thought he had everything you'd want in an NFL quarterback. And then
he got hit 8 million times.
He was beaten unmercifully for his couple years as a quarterback for the Texans, and I don't think he ever really got a chance to figure out if he had the stuff, because he spent his whole career running for his life.
Yeah, so did Archie. And I think Archie was one of the best quarterbacks I ever saw.
Yeah, I think a lack of protection is at least part of the reason why Andrew Luck called it a career much earlier than folks thought he would. Because I remember that was one of the talking points right after Andrew Luck's shock retirement was how many times in the 5 years since drafting Andrew Luck, I don't believe the Colts drafted a lineman with one of their first, second, or third round picks. And they dealt with a quarterback who was perennially injured, and then decided to stop playing football in the middle of what should have been his prime.
One thought about the draft: the Falcons have the number 8 pick tonight, and I'd like to see them take Brock Bowers.
They have Kyle Pitts already, who has been sort of working at receiver more than tight end. Now, you know, it's like I think they've sort of bailed on the idea of him as a tight end. I think there are a lot of people in Atlanta that would say, yeah, bring Brock Bowers in as another option for
Falcons. Falcons really need defensive help. They don't have an established edge rusher. They've tried. I know Dallas Turner's a very popular pick for them there, but yeah,
that's
what I've heard. A lot of folks thinking that they stay defense, maybe even trade down and get some defense there. With that, but yeah, I mean, that team has so many weapons. When you think about Bijan Robinson and Drake London and Kyle Pitts, and now you've got a quarterback to put it all together. And their defense wasn't bad last season. It's just, man, you feel like they got to do something here with this pick to kind of change around. But could you imagine though? Could you imagine how many Brock Bowers Falcons jerseys you could sell?
No kidding.
Oh man, with all the Georgia fans there, man, it would have been crazy.
A few.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, guys. See you later.
Appreciate it, Jerry. 334-321-1390. Yeah, one of the fun things here is all right. Let's get trading.
I just read a report that the Vikings are freaking out right now. Because teams are not letting them trade up to where they want, and so now they're at 11, and they're now having to sit here and think like, ooh,
because everybody's been projecting them to trade into the top 5.
And a lot of the now here's the really
could be leverage though. Could be a leverage play.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know that they want it. It's like, all right, it's going to take a little more.
Wildest rumor, and I know Schefter, you know, got asked about this because I believe the odds have sort of reflected this too. So there are folks wondering. Jim Harbaugh absolutely loves J.J. McCarthy. He's, you know, just coached him to
He probably shouldn't have taken a job with one of the best quarterbacks in football there.
If he wants to continue coaching J.J. McCarthy, is there any chance that the Chargers would go with McCarthy tonight and look to find a partner for Justin Herbert?
Zero.
Fifth overall pick. Or is even talk of that just a way to get folks to come get the Chargers number 5 overall pick,
where they're thinking at 5 is that with the Chargers, it's like, are they going to take Joe Alt? Are they going to, you know, they're going to trade back? And you just try to play.
Neighbors could be on the board if they wanted to add offense there. It's probably not. It's probably
the interesting
not as,
thing for the Chargers is like they are going to be in kind of a cap misery for one more year and. Like, the end is near for some of their big-name weapons. Maybe you go get somebody like that. I think the dream, if you're the Chargers, is if something screwy happens at 4 with the Cardinals maybe trading for somebody who wants to take over and Marvin Harrison falling in your lap. Because you put Marvin Harrison with Justin Herbert, and boy. Like that's crazy for a while.
And I think for you using that thinking, I'd be on board if they stuck at 5 and took Neighbors, or I guess even at that point Brock Bowers. Just you know, thinking like, you know what, let's maximize the weapons around Herbert. And
they got Rashawn Slater. And I think if they got Alt, if they got the best tackle, like you could take two really good tackles and you have your dude set for a while.
But I do feel like if the Vikings move up, like that would be probably like that one would think that would be the dance partner, you know, for them, like the Chargers at 5 or the Giants. The
Cardinals at 4.
Giants at 6, you know.
Giants at 6, yeah.
Do you think the Giants could be a team looking quarterback tonight?
They could. I mean, it's a lot of money they've got tied up in Daniel Jones.
Now, unlike Justin Herbert, the Giants have money tied up in a quarterback they don't want to continue paying and playing.
And you could say that about Arizona and Kyler, but
yeah,
you know, we've seen Kyler Murray be good. we've seen Daniel Jones at best be solid. And so, like, I think there's a pretty big difference.
It'd be a bold move to move on from Kyler Murray tonight, you know, and say, like, we're doing something else.
Financially, just, I don't think you can do it.
Yeah, I think a couple of these teams, you know, they're
when you have more needs than just quarterback and you have an expensive quarterback on the roster, just stick with the quarterback and just figure it out.
I think Dallas Turner's a solid prediction for Atlanta at 10. I think that's a guy who could be.
It's not 10. They're at
a need.
Is it 8? Is it
I believe the Falcons have picked at 8 for 3 straight years now, or 7 or 8. Because they've had the same record for 3 straight years.
They're a target.
They could definitely trade back.
Yeah, they could trade back.
They could trade back and get one of the corners. Mm-hmm. The thing is,
including Kool-Aid,
probably not Kool-Aid first round.
Is he not picked as a first round pick?
Not one of the top guys.
Interesting.
I don't think. I mean, he might end up being, but like, I think you're
depending on how far back they go, right? Like, if they were to move, I mean, I could see Kool-Aid.
The kid from Toledo's got a lot of love around him. He had an incredible pre-draft process. The thing with Atlanta is. And it's a tough spot. It was a tough spot for them to be in this year. Atlanta needs pass rushers. Like, they have not been able to get after the quarterback the last couple of years. And the issue with them is that they keep drafting guys, and they're just not panning out. I think Tack McKinley, I remember the Tack McKinley pick, and it was just like, you know, they'll keep trying and keep trying. This was not a great free agent market for pass rushers. There were a couple of guys, but not like big, big name dudes. And I don't think they had enough capital. Like, where did the guy for the Eagles just go? He just got traded. The big pass rusher for the Eagles. I'm blanking. Played at Temple. Hassan Reddick. He just got traded. Like, I don't know if you could go do that, but it's one of those things where I could see Falcons, like the Falcons. Yeah, that's right. I could see the thing where Falcons fans are be like, all right, are we going to pick another pass rusher? And it's like, one of these better hit at some point. But Dallas Turner is a great player. This is an interesting edge rushing class because you've got Dallas Turner, Jared Verse from Florida State's been good, and then the big dude from UCLA,
Latu.
He's a great player, had a great year. Everyone's terrified he'll be out of the league in 3 or 4 years because of his injury history, and that's one of those that gets really scary.
I'll tell you the other position where if you're picking late, especially if you're one of these teams that moves down, I do like. Couple of the receivers that could be there that aren't projected to go in the top 20, but
I just think everyone should be ready for Ladd McConkey to be a Kansas City Chief.
I think Ladd McConkey. I'd be pretty psyched if my team came away with Keon Coleman. I mean that's a guy
draft. So draft folks have hated on Keon Coleman during this process, and I don't get it. The dude's a great player.
Yeah, I'd want Keon Coleman on my team.
Yeah, I can't.
Oh, it's like everybody downgrading Brock Bowers. I get it. Tight end's not the most premium position in the world to go get guys, but like I've watched Brock Bowers play enough where he was the best player on the best team in America back to back years.
This is Debo Samuel again, where it's like you're watching, you're like, you know, this is a first round pick, and then all the draft people are saying, oh well, you know, but this, but that, and then you the right team gets him, and he's clearly
like I'd feel a lot better about Keon Coleman and Ladd McConkey than I do like a Troy Franklin.
Sure.
Who's a good player?
I'll tell you, I like the South Carolina receiver. I like Leggett.
Xavier Leggett. Yeah,
I like Leggett.
He's a good player.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of guys that I think are going to end up on.
Yeah, those late first round wide receivers are interesting, but it's such a good top heavy wide receiver class as well. You look at a team like the Buffalo Bills, who just traded Stephon Diggs. They have some good defensive. They have a good defensive core. They obviously have Josh Allen. And they have, like, I mean, if you look at their wide receiver room right now, it's a bunch of just guys. And so that could be a team where maybe those guys are going to be around late in the first round, might not move the needle quite as much. But, heck, I mean, there was a video going around today that is one of the all-timers from the 2020. Yeah, it was 2020 draft because they're all on Zoom. Going around where Justin Jefferson – he goes to the Vikings at 22 or 21 or something like that. There's a video of the Vikings watching the Eagles pick before them, and they pick Jalen Reagor, and everyone on the call is laughing, and they're like, oh my God, Justin Jefferson just fell to us. Like, we can't believe they went with Jalen Reagor. And Obviously, we know how that turned out for Minnesota.
I would throw Mitchell, the other receiver.
Adonai Mitchell.
Adonai Mitchell, a Georgia and Texas receiver.
You love a dude who's got good size and is as fast as a deer. Yeah, like, that's a good combo.
These are all guys who could, I mean, Coleman, Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, Leggett could all be.
Adonai Mitchell, yeah, A.D. Mitchell, I guess any of those guys we mentioned, McConkey's another one. That feels like and I don't know what their needs are and where they're, that feels like what. One of those guys every year goes to the Ravens, and you look up and you're like, how in the world did they get that guy? And they do it every – Zay Flowers is a great example of that, where you just sort of like, how did somebody let the Ravens get this guy?
And that's because some teams are so focused in on what they have to get and not getting –
And then you get to the end of the draft, these teams that are really
good. A player who is going to be better than anybody else that you could get.
For years and years, defensive players that way ended up on the Steelers. Like, it was incredible the way it was like, that guy that has, that one red flag but is otherwise clearly going to be a productive NFL player for 15 years. Oh, he's a Pittsburgh Steeler now. And that's, I think
the Ravens are getting that way now as well. I mean, it really took to the next level with Lamar, but, like, they've had a run where you just look up at guys and you're like, man, how did they land them?
I could see the Niners or the Packers coming away with those receivers we were talking about, at least one of them, because that's also like a team that tends to, collect an underappreciated skill position player a little bit later on in the draft, and then you see them.
I think it would be absolutely hilarious for the Packers to have the success they had this past season without Aaron Rodgers, never drafting a first-round receiver for him, and then going and getting one this year. Yes. I think it would be so good. Like, I think they have needs on the offensive line, first and foremost. Like, that's the thing I've seen the most with the Packers, but yeah, if they just went out and said, Keon Coleman, go. And they've got Jaden Reed, and they've got, who's the other guy who's really good for him this past year? Romeo Doubs. Yeah, like they've got some pieces there for sure, but like it would be so funny if they're like, bang, got it.
They added a big running back, didn't they? There's a running back shuffle this offseason, but they signed somebody and then let their guy walk. And I forget which of the, but it was one of the good running backs is a Green Bay Pack. Aaron Jones walked, I think. Did they go get Derrick Henry?
Or no, Derrick Henry's with the Ravens.
Did they go get I don't know. There's a good running back though who went to the, was it Josh Jacobs?
Josh Jacobs.
It was Josh Jacobs. Yeah, yeah.
They kept AJ Dillon and got Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, I like the Josh Jacobs pickup there in Green Bay as well. So.
All right, let's get to our bottom of the hour break. Got about 20 minutes left when we come back. Love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise here on the Thursday Drive.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final 20 minutes here on this Thursday. Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. Reminder that coming up following the drive, we'll have ESPN radio coverage of the NFL draft getting underway. Round one tonight, rounds two and three tomorrow, which we will join in progress following the show.
And then the
last four rounds on Saturday.
Live from Detroit, this year's NFL draft. We're looking on the monitor here in the studio. Nick Saban. Now, is this Nick Saban's debut as a part of the College Game Day panel?
I guess so. Have we seen him before? He's there.
I just saw him as part of the panel there on ESPN's coverage with the rest of the College Game Day guys. And so I would think this is something like Nick Saban's his unveiling as part of that as part of that crew. But yeah, among many sort of notable things about this NFL draft, but it's getting started in just over an hour. You can catch it on ESPN. You can catch, I believe ABC is going to have coverage as well they're going to have their own. That's always strange to me, Justin, that there's ABC coverage and ESPN coverage, and it's not the same, that they're doing, two separate feeds for the same. There's also NFL Network coverage, right, if you want to watch it tonight. But we'll have the ESPN radio coverage here on ESPN 106.7 leading up to the draft. ESPN radio coverage, and then the actual draft itself live on ESPN radio.
334-321-1390. That is the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Love for you to join in. Well,
gonna talk to Andy tomorrow.
Yeah, Andy will we'll check in with him from Baton Rouge. Well, he'll be checking in with us from Baton Rouge tomorrow. Dan's got some softball duty tomorrow.
That's right. Headed down.
And he's not playing.
Headed down to Troy.
I thought maybe they were going to put you at first base tomorrow.
No, you know, I'm going to keep the elbow loose. You know, just in case. I'm going to make sure that I'm hitting my spots when I go home tonight. But no, it's some Troy softball for ESPN Plus. Tomorrow should be a fun weekend in Troy. It's the spring game.
Looks like gorgeous weather
on Saturday, and some great weather for Sun Belt softball. Rivalry action, battle for the belt with the Jaguars coming up from Mobile to take on the Trojans. Troy is Bill. They're 11-7 in conference play, mm-hmm. but they've only lost one series. They're winning a lot of series. Two out of three. Yeah, they're winning two out of three. They're 5-1 overall in six Sun Belt series. This year,
that gets you exactly there. They haven't swept. They haven't been swept.
Gets into 11-7, and so they're looking to keep that going as they welcome South Alabama to Troy this weekend.
Yeah, and then we mentioned Andy Burcham joining us from Baton Rouge tomorrow. Auburn still trying to find some answers baseball wise. I mean, it's more than struggling. It has just been a nightmare of a season thus far. 2-16 in SEC play. The defending national champions who just won their first series. That is crazy in SEC play.
Is 6-24? We were talking with somebody.
Eight and twenty-two is the worst Auburn has done. Now, the worst percentage wise was back in, I believe, 83. Paul Nix's next to the last season, I believe, maybe his last season.
But
4-18 is the worst winning percentage Auburn's ever had in SEC play.
But if you isolate it to just the 30-game conference
eight
era,
8-22 is the worst.
8-22 is the worst it's been. Auburn would have to work. Auburn would need to go 6-6 down
that's
the
right.
stretch to tie 8-22, and that's it's not a tall order for a team that has struggled thus far in conference play. Really looking for, you know, like we were saying with Jason yesterday, like really, really hoping, like it's just like in every other sport in college athletics, it's understood that Auburn is going to have to go to the portal and hit the recruiting trail and improve the roster in different spots after the season is over. It's just a matter of guys making the case that they can be counted on for next year. Who is going to be part of, you know, who's going to be part of the turnaround, not just the rest of this season, but who's going to be part of the turnaround next year? And that's something for the coaching staff.
And they're having to do this with a lot of unproven guys too because of injuries. I mean, not only have they had struggles with the pitching staff, just hasn't been what anyone expected when Auburn was returning 80% of their innings from a year ago and bringing back Joseph Gonzalez, just hasn't worked, and now they've got so many batters. I mean, Ike Irish is out, and they hope to have him back in a week or so, but he could be out for a couple of more weeks. Still, you know, Bobby Pierce, unable to go. Mason Maynard. I mean, I believe I heard Brad saying earlier that Auburn had five of their starting nine had fewer than 50 at-bats the other night.
Wow.
In the game against Florida A&M. And, I mean, here you are. You're coming down the stretch. You've got four conference series left. So it's an opportunity for some guys. But, I mean, this is they're not going to get any sympathy from LSU fans, I can tell you that.
No, certainly not. And the starting pitchers, I saw that it's – I know Tanner and Myers, I believe.
Yeah, Carson Myers has started the season in the rotation and then struggled some. But he's pitched well the last couple of times out, so hopefully – he can get things going. That gives Auburn a couple of lefties to send to the mound, and we'll just see, you know, what the rest of the weekend ends up looking like. So yeah, we'll talk to Andy tomorrow afternoon. We'll get him around 4:15 tomorrow. Don Dunn's going to be checking
Excellent.
In.
Excellent.
So Don and I will be holding it down. Drew should be here. I think you said
I'll be here tomorrow, but I'll be gone Monday and Tuesday.
Okay. Drew is out Monday and Tuesday.
Okay.
So
I should be here Monday
and
Tuesday.
We'll take turns running
the
trying
to run
things.
I'm in Florida.
Okay, good.
Oh, that's right. You've got a relative's birthday.
My niece turned 4 years
old. Oh, yeah, look at that.
Four-year-old birthday.
I thought you were skipping us to tape some finals or something.
No. He's not even making an early trip to the beach. He may be, but he's not saying that. He's not telling us that. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll go ahead and get to our final break. We can talk a little bit about some news from Auburn Athletics about some enhancements for Jordan Hare for 2024. As a matter of fact, I've got a text out to Rhett Hobart to see if he can come on and give us more details. But we'll talk about some of the info that was sent out today by Auburn Athletics about some things that will be new to Jordan Hare for 2024 in our final segment, which is coming up here on the Thursday Drive.
Experience with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Thursday afternoon. And yes, earlier today, I got a couple of emails because I have a couple of different accounts with Auburn Athletics as a former staff member, but also
The scalper account.
As a contributor. No. I mean, these are all perfectly above board. I mean, not that a scalper's not, but not doing that. But Auburn Athletics announcing new premium enhancements for Jordan Hare Stadium. There's going to be a new premium club called the Locker Room Club at Jordan Hare Stadium. The field suites that we saw last year, they're going to be permanent field suites there at Jordan Hare this year. It's part of three new premium options that will go on sale next week. The Locker Room Club, five permanent field suites, and the Hall of Fame Club at Plainsman Park is something that is going to be available for football ticket holders and contributors well.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
They've done tailgating areas over there, so that makes sense.
Well, I mean, now, you know, you think about everything that is going up there at Plainsman Park, down the first base line. When all that goes up, they're going to be suites there that are able to overlook Tiger Walk.
Yeah.
Incorporating that into football game day makes a lot of sense for the university because of the location of it and the accommodations and stuff that they're putting in there. That would, and I know they've used what the area around the Frank Thomas statue for, like, what was it? Was it at A-Day they had the recent baseball series where they put the vintage clothing store pop-up?
Yeah.
Right there and being able to put, you know, different tailgating.
Yeah, they just did that the other night.
Yeah, I mean, so being able to use that spot for game day as well as more of the baseball stadium, I think makes a lot of sense.
And you know, that the Hall of Fame Club is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't had a chance to get in there, I mean, there are a few more opportunities. You can if you have a ticket to the ball game, you can add on and get a wristband and be able to get in there. But, I mean, it's really neat. But I'm looking forward to seeing the Locker Room Club, which is going to be in the down underneath the bowl in the stadium southeast corner. That's where the old dressing rooms were. And as a matter of fact, our buddy Chuck, who was a baseball player back in the day, back when he and some of his friends would get in there and said, you know, there were things like helmets and pads and things that they found down there. Now it's being renovated and going to be the Locker Room Club. And as Auburn Athletics points out, it'll transport fans back to 1949 when Travis Tidwell helped Auburn conclude the season with a huge upset over Alabama, 14-13. But that's where the locker room was. The team would dress and everything down there. And this is going to be sold on a per-season basis with a capacity of about 350 for the locker room club. And it'll also be the opportunity to watch games from a standing room space along the east sideline of Jordan-Hare. They've added drink rails along the fence line just behind the visiting bench to be able to stand along there and watch. So that sounds like a really cool addition. The locker room club, one of the three in enhancements we talked about, mentioned that there will be five permanent. They're going to be five permanent field suites. You know, there were temporary field suites last year. They're adding permanent structures in each end zone corner, two in the southwest corner, and these will be available on a per game basis. So, looking forward to seeing and finding out more about some of these premium enhancements that are going to be available at the stadium.
Sure, and then when baseball season ends, there's more renovation planning. Like
absolutely,
they're going to start putting shovel to dirt on some of the stuff.
I don't know that all that's going to be done in time for football. It's supposed to be done in time for baseball next year. But I mean, we'll be able to see a lot of that.
Right, I imagine some of it could be done in time for the baseball stadium to be open. But it could be a different looking Plainsman Park when football season rolls around. And then, of course, there's also been talk about the scoreboard, right? Like that's the other.
The first thing that will be that people have been informed about was the new scoreboard for this fall.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like A-Day may have been, you know, your chance to say goodbye.
Last time to see the old scoreboard there in the north end zone
to the old girl. But you know, that's you know what, is that right, or is that
what
I didn't realize it was in time for this fall
in the scoreboard in the north end zone supposed to be there for this fall.
Not sure.
Yeah.
Not sure.
I was quoting you on that one.
I could be wrong.
I'm gonna be honest. You probably know more about that than I do.
Well, y'all talk for a second. I'll check.
There you go.
Justin.
Hi, Dan.
The Auburn Observer.
Yeah.
AuburnObserver.com.
Yes.
You got how do people sign up for that sort of thing?
Well, you can go to AuburnObserver.com and sign up there. It's a bunch of buttons and links and stuff. It's and once you're in. $6 a month or $60 a year gets you a subscription. We email everything out to you, and we've had a ton of stuff this week, and we'll have more tomorrow with the mailbag, and Dan and I are going to record a podcast sometime tonight.
I'm wrong. It's 25.
Okay. Okay. So you'll have
this season to say goodbye.
It'll have a Derek
to the north end. Sure,
there's a lot
scoreboard.
Of people who are ready for that.
It'll have it'll have a Derek Jeter, Kobe Bryant, you know, sort of farewell season.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Light
that baby up is what everybody hopes. I mean, whatever.
Goodbye.
Right. Yeah, Justin. Thanks a lot, man.
Yes, sir.
Well, Dan, good luck tomorrow with the softball.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Should be a fun new adventure for me.
Don Dunn and I will be in again. We'll talk with Andy Burcham. Hope we'll talk with you as well on the Friday drive. But we're out of time here on the Thursday edition. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.